Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, travelers!
Greetings, travelers!
Greetings, travelers!
We have
Mark here again. What?
Yeah.
What?
It's a holiday miracle.
We wheeled him out.
It is, you know, prop him
happy
up.
Happy Saturnalia, happy solstice, all that fun stuff.
So we are in, I think, the beginning of December. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, last year we had the haunted holidays.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we're back in the haunted holidays, if you ask my
opinion. I am all for that.
It feels pretty haunted out here.
It is the dark of the year. It's the spooky times. We're good with this.
Yes.
Exactly. I don't know. It doesn't feel very spooky because it's dark at 4:30 and then I'm just sad. I'm not like ready to have spooky times. I'm ready to go to sleep.
That was one of the things I was reading is like when you realize it's 10:30 at night, but then you look at your watch and realize it's only 6.
So, yeah. So true.
Exactly.
So true. Okay. So we are going to do, cause we just had a pile up. So we are going to do some listener tales to
the holiday gift to you.
Yes.
From you. Yeah, we're re-gifting these tales that you give
you from you.
Back to you. Yes.
I love it. Okay. Who wants to start? You know what, Mark, you better start since this starts with hi, Mark.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes, I'll start. Thank you. And again, listeners, thank you for sending these to us. If you want to send them your own tale to us or any questions you have for us, info@erietravels.com. is the where you send the email, or go to erietravels.com and fill out the form. I think that's where most y'all do. Or you can reach out to us on the various social medias. We always love our followers there. And let's dive right in. So hi, Mark. Hi. Over the summer, towards the end of June, I moved into a friend's house. Me and my boyfriend got the whole basement, which is one bedroom, a big open area with a fireplace, a bathroom, a big storage closet, and a storage spot under the stairs. Oh, that sounds lovely. I like that. I've had some upsetting things since I've been here. My roommate / landlord used to have a girlfriend living here with her two kids, and the single room downstairs was the 6-year-old little girl's room. He told me, he told me she would be up at all hours of the night talking to someone, or possibly just herself, but that creeps me out and made me go into living here a little afraid from the start. Erica would have noped out already.
No, she would have been like, I'm not moving in there.
I would have never moved in. Nope.
Within a week or two of living here, I started having horrible nightmares. Never had nightmares like these before living here. I do have PTSD nightmares, so at the time, I was already taking a medication for nightmares. As this went on, I got prescribed to take a second prescription along with it. In one of the more recent nightmares, I was told by someone I was put under a spell. Right after that, I woke up and there was a wasp inside my basement.
Oh no.
I don't know how this happened. This was just a couple of days ago, so one of the more recent. These nightmares have been getting worse and worse. If I am sleeping downstairs, I almost always have a nightmare. But if I take a nap on the roommate's couch upstairs, I have never had a nightmare upstairs. If you want to hear more about my details about my nightmares, let me know. One of the first times I had a nightmare, I got out of bed to go to sleep on the couch because I was spooked and wanted to be somewhere else. I laid down on the couch and I swear it felt like something was pulling my ponytail that was hanging off the arm of the couch. Also, I am just a student, and my boyfriend works with my friend slash roommate who lives upstairs and owns the house. I am often here alone, and things I hear that make it seem like the boys are home. From seeing videos describing them, my head goes to the idea of experiencing something that seems like a mimic. I don't know a lot about them. I've just seen a few people talk about online when scrolling. When I am home alone, the thing I hear most is my boyfriend's cough. He smokes and has a very distinct cough clearing his throat noise. I will hear that and a lighter lighting as if he's smoking. I will hear his laugh that sounds like it's coming from upstairs. Sometimes it sounds like if there is music playing upstairs. Does anyone have any idea what could be happening here? Ivy.
Wow. Ivy, you need to move and burn the entire place down.
Yes, that would probably upset your friend slash roommate who lives upstairs slash landlord.
Yeah, they probably don't want to live there by themselves either. So they're really glad you're living there with them. Don't leave them there.
I again would suggest check with them if it's okay if we send a paranormal team to investigate. It does sound like you might have a doppelganger situation. That's another word for mimic. Mimics a Dungeons and Dragons term. but I know it's gained some popular culture.
Yeah, it's all over TikTok.
It gained popular culture because the D&D movie was pretty badass. So
that's true. It was really good.
And it had a mimic in it. So
yeah. They will creep you out. And that's the idea. Again, it's like a fear monger. They want you to be afraid. They want you to be scared. But it sounds like it's trying to sound like your boyfriend upstairs, which is not scaring you, but trying to lure you upstairs or lure you to invite it downstairs. Either way.
Nope.
Get some protection of some sort.
She has sleep paralysis upstairs and downstairs. Yeah. So it feels like it can be both places anyway. So it's weird that it's trying to be like, come on up here or let me down there. Because it seems to be able to do both already.
And again, you have said you are prescribed a couple of medications for this. Sometimes that can have the opposite effect. So, it might could be as simple as that, but it could be something much more, on our end of the spectrum. So please let us know if you would like us to send a team or something like that. So,
yeah. And for the record, you're haunted. Anyway, good. Moving on. Just to call that one what it is. Thank you very much, Ivy.
Thank you, Ivy. We hope things go better. So,
And with that, Bo.
So I attended the last Halloween tour at a place called the Ulster American Folk Park in Northern Ireland. Oh. There was a news story told of a recently recovered chest full of documents, stories, last will and testaments, etc., of this man, Crudden Boyle, a man who worshipped Bile, the Irish god of death.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that this was a Halloween tour. I am a skeptic, so I'm not convinced that it's ghosts. Just that the experiences I had definitely didn't seem part of the experience, since no attention was brought to them. The folk park had some buildings that they painstakingly moved brick by brick from their original location, including a building called the Campbell House, which is considered to be the most haunted building in the park. The folk park discovered that Boyle had lived in this house for about 5 years, engaging in blood rituals and incantations. When we were led into this house, we found a multi-pack of beer and some coffee cups from some teens looking for a cheap thrill, which apparently links into the house having an increased rate of break-ins after Crudden left. So this security guard claims his grandmother was a Boyle, so potentially related to Crudden. Just before the guard entered the building, I heard a singular knock upstairs. And as he spoke and mentioned the rituals and magics that Crudden was involved in, I heard three distinct thuds throughout. I was also standing in front of a small indoor window. I kept looking at it. It was behind me. I constantly felt like there was something watching. Like if I kept checking, I might see a face. But I could have been psyching myself out. The final thing that confused me is that no matter how many times I heard his name, I struggled to remember it until I heard it again. That continued until after I left, but this being the day after, I remember his name just fine. Like I said, I'm a skeptic, so I'm not convinced that it was paranormal. We never went upstairs on the tour, so there could well have been someone upstairs, but it didn't seem like there was. Still, definitely really interesting. And this is from Glenn.
Well, hello, hi, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Thanks.
You've now listed another place I'm not going to visit, so thank you.
Thanks for messaging us from across the pond. But yeah, no, we do get, we have similar areas like that in America where we have the, they usually call them, what do they call them? Like Frontier Village and Pinellas.
Oh, like the historic village in like Salem.
Where they move important buildings because they need that corner of the street to be a McDonald's. We move it to a park in the middle of nowhere, but we keep the, that way we could save the historic building. It's saving the heritage without saving the heritage. Right. And sometimes these things, that stirs up things. Sometimes things move with them. Sometimes it doesn't. So as a skeptic, I appreciate you calling out that there could have been somebody upstairs you didn't know. And that this could just be a bunch of bogus stories. But it does sound like the guy was just telling you what he knew. And I don't think he's making it up. So for making up sake, although it was a Halloween tour, so that could be part of it. But
it's true All Hallows Eve, and we don't know if it's on ley lines because you never know what's coming and going. But it sounds like there was some intention attached to the bones of the house, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you never know if that stuff is lingering, meaning not like actually like a spirit or something, just weirdo intentions there, you know?
And that feeling that you got when you're standing by the window and it felt like somebody's watching you, 9 times out of 10, there's a reason we have that little instinct in the back of our head. It's to protect you.
Yeah, it's like the lizard brain thing. Like,
yeah,
you don't understand why you're doing it, but you're just like, something's spooking you and you don't know, but your body knows.
That's why we call it preternatural stuff we don't understand yet.
So. It's true, Glenn. Well, keep us updated. If you have any more experiences, I'd like to know. Okay. I'm asking anonymously because I don't want people to think I'm being crazy or that I am crazy. You're not, but let's continue. I'm very much serious. I need advice and help. Please read this on your podcast and send me advice. I live in a small town here in Florida. I might add I live in a manufactured home. I've done some history on it, and it was built in the 1960s. No one has passed on that's lived here from what I can find, but that's where the problem comes in and where I need help. I get very nervous about being at home alone sometimes. My fiance will be at work and my child at school, and when I'm in the bathroom, I can hear someone walking, but it's only when I'm taking a shower or in the bathroom. It doesn't matter if I'm cleaning or doing my hair or anything. That's why I said I might seem crazy, but it's every single time. I have a lot of dogs and none of them have alerted me to anything here. Sometimes they bark out the window, but that's about it. But that's not where it stops. Recently, I've been hearing my son's voice. And when I'd ask what he would say, he didn't say anything. Then just yesterday, I heard someone literally crying. And I mean crying like something bad happened to them. But it again sounded like my son. And I went to him and said, "What's wrong?" And he looked over at me like I was crazy. And I'd go ask my fiance, "Did you hear that?" And he'd say, "Yes," but none of us were crying. I need help on opinions on what you think it is or what I should do. I don't know. Again, I don't want to sound or seem crazy. No doors have been opening or shutting by themselves. Things have been moved in certain spots, but I tell myself I've moved it or my son or fiance has. The neighbor's house isn't close enough to hear anything anyway. If it was them or not, it sounds like it's in the same house, but it's not us. Please advise, anonymous.
Okay. I did reach out to this person personally when I got this. This came through one of our other channels, and I do have a team out there with them currently, and they have done some testing. They've gotten some EVPs, and they have done some further research on the area. They do believe there were shell middens there, so it is some interesting land history there. They are worried that it might be the beginnings of a fear monger, something trying to build dark energy there. So hopefully we'll have more follow-ups in the new year, but they are investigating. And the lady does say that things have calmed down a little bit.
Can you remind us what a shell midden is?
A shell midden's the natives of Florida, they would live on the sunny beaches because, hey, it's a nice place to live. and they would stack their garbage, which is basically mostly seashells and bones and things that they would eat. And then they would cover it with mud and make a next layer. And they're basically making, you know, garbage pins. And that's what these are. And it would build
full of bones.
Yeah, full of bones. And but mostly like, you know, alligator bones, raccoon bones, whatever they were eating. And then they would, you know, fill those up and they would cover them with dirt and mud. And they would make these big mounds. So people would say, oh, they're burial mounds. They're this mounds. Well, they're garbage mounds. And then they would, when they would fill them up high enough, they'd move, you know, a few miles down the beach and do it again. And that's, they did that for thousands and thousands of years. And that's at least what we think. There may have been some significance to those. There may have been cultural significance. They may have built these intentionally. So they may have been offering mounds. We're not sure. This, again, this is archaeology of thousands of years ago tribes. So we just do our best. But likely they were just garbage.
Yeah. Okay, Mark.
Okay, moving on. Can I ask for some advice or suggestions? We have an escalating situation, and I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. We live on 10 acres in East Texas, very isolated and surrounded on all sides by miles of very dense piney woods. We have heard non-coyote whoops, lion roars, and howls. Not coyote howls, closer to wolf, but different. They are not originating from local wildlife. All about a quarter mile out from our back pasture fence line. It chills us every time. All our hair rises and we book it inside, always after dark. Last night, I heard sounds that defy explanation and were absolutely horrifying in not just the sound itself, but the bass, the reverberation, the powerful projection. It sounded like something out of a Hollywood sound studio amplified through concert level speakers. The first vocalization sounded like a very large man who was very excited about something and whooping about it. But then it got so loud and so deep that it was no longer human. This was immediately followed by, or morphed into, I'm not sure, a howl that sounded like the mid part of a wolf howl. No crescendo, or no decrescendo, and then at least 6 to 8 more voices rapidly rose doing the same thing. An absolute cacophony. The sheer power was unbelievably incredible. Scariest thing I've ever heard, and unconveyable to describe. Well, that's a good word. It sounded like a pack of King Kong-sized apex predators raising their voices in exuberant excitement about going on a hunt. That was my definite immediate impression. Every animal we own reacted with absolute primal terror, including our fierce pit bull and Catahoula dogs and myself. Your first thought is, are we prey? This occurred just after dusk at about 1/8 mile into the thick of the woods that go unbroken for about 30 miles to the next town off our back pasture. I had been quietly reading on the back porch and on our porch couch for about an hour. When dusk fell, I had some light from the kitchen window and was going to finish the chapter and head in, and that's when it happened. I'm seriously starting to consider moving, although we just cleared and built a private road in. The pasture, the barn, the house have only been here 2 months. Another option is bars on the windows, maybe. How do we handle this and to peacefully coexist? Hearing that so close to the house was like standing next to Niagara Falls and realizing how small, slow, and weak you are compared to its immense power to turn you into pink mush. My dogs and outside cats are refusing to go outside today, dragging them out, and that's a big problem too. I'm going to replicate what I was doing yesterday today at dusk, and if I hear that again, I'm installing bars on the windows and doors tomorrow, which will look absolutely nuts way out here in the rural country. Any recommendations? How do we convey we mean no harm and wish to coexist peacefully? What are the do's and don'ts? It's damn near impossible to get advice on this. I've asked over 10 people on YouTube, more anonymously, with zero reply. I've reached out on Facebook to a few groups, and then I was told to email you all. I appreciate you in advance, and I'm sincerely sorry I wrote a whole novel here. Wendy.
Whoa, that was a great novel, though, Wendy. Like that, I could feel that.
That's a Netflix series waiting to happen right there. So, oh my gosh. I did reach out to the BFRO on your behalf on this, Wendy, and we have been in touch since. You have had other encounters, but not that exact same. So if you want us to share those on the show, let us know. The BFRO team is out there researching, and they have found signs of wolves in the area. They have not found signs of bear. They did find some unusual tracks. That's all they would say.
Do we think this is dogman?
The BFRO, of course, doesn't like to use that term. They don't like dogman. They don't like canine.
They only like Bigfoot. That's it.
The team that is out there is a little more open to interpretation. So when I've talked to their leader, all he said to me is that the case is ongoing because he doesn't know what it is either. So
yeah, so it's a dogman. I'm gonna go with that. It's dogman. And I don't have the answer for how you coexist with them. If it was Bigfoot, I'd say put some peanut butter out, but no.
Dogman might like peanut butter. You don't know. Dogs like peanut butter.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very, very true. Okay.
But thank you for sharing.
Being a dogman apologist.
No, thank you for sharing. And I hope somebody else out there will share too. As for your do's and don'ts, we talked. Yes, just record, document, and stay inside. Don't let your animals go outside when that noise is going on, and keep an eye on them when they are out there. That's the best you can do right now. Because it could be just a bobcat. It could be a bunch of wolves. It could be some wolf dog hybrid that we don't know, out there. There's a lot of things it could be.
Dogmen, and you should stay inside.
Yeah.
Don't love that. Okay, Bo, you're next.
You want scary, Erica?
Nope. I don't.
You can nope out of this. No, you can't. You have to stay here. So, .. My house is haunted by my mother-in-law, who I miss. She passed in September in a hospice house. She found her way home. She is exiting and entering through the closet in her room. It is an accordion closet door, so it sits firmly closed. I sleep in there now, long story, so when I leave the room, it is closed. A half hour later, I'll peek in and the door is ajar. It is not the cats opening it because there is not any food in there, and usually they are in other parts of the house. Now I'm going to get a magnetized doorbell to alert me when the door opens because I want to run in there to ask her a couple of questions with the app I have on my phone in the 5-minute window I have while she's manifested. Hopefully she's entering the room and not exiting when I'm alerted. We will see, and I'll let you know. And this is from Michelle.
Oh, Michelle, I hope that is your mother-in-law and you're not going to mess with something else. I would also say, just for the record on this, we have now seen this because Mark has a ghost at his house that moves books around. And the books just appear. They don't float. They don't move. They just appear. So just be aware, this may work, this may not work, because it's kind of like there are people that have had doors like be jiggled, like doorknobs jiggled, but no motion on the Ring camera. Let us know what happens, Michelle, but I'm not coming to investigate.
I think this batch we're getting came after we did our last Listener Tales on Halloween, and I think, Erica, you poked the bear and said you wanted scary ones.
Oh, yeah, you did. This is your fault.
I don't mind scary ones. That doesn't mean I'm going to Michelle's house.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I like scary ones.
This looks like this was early November. So
I like it.
Okay. I don't know, but now, Erica, I'm just thinking about that closet in your basement that is kind of like an accordion door. So next time you go out there.
There is something that's turning on the bathroom light in my house.
That bathroom light, the bathroom downstairs.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. That's not a bad thing.
I don't get it. It's a bad presence at all, but it doesn't when I'm around and I'm by my, it doesn't do it, but it's now started doing it when guests arrive. I don't know if it's like here, the light is on for you. That's happening. Anyway,
I can't wait to meet that ghost.
Yes.
Well, here we your go. Turn.
It also could be Faye. I don't know. It could be one or the other. You never know with these things. This is the one and only time I've ever felt like I legitimately personally experienced a feeling of a spiritual presence. You wanted a scary tale. I really did ask for this. So
You did.
Keep on coming. When I was a kid, I used to spend a couple of weeks during the summer with my grandmother who lived out of state. She lived in a really small old town in Oklahoma that was only a couple miles away from her best friend, Joan. In a lucky turn of event, Joan's grandkids, four girls around my age, at the time 13, whoa, good job there. Okay, happened to be visiting her at the same time I was in the town that summer. We spent several of those days together, but the paranormal experience I had happened the one day when I was invited to Joan's house. Joan's house, like many homes in the towns, was certainly built in the 1800s. Her home was enormous and beautifully Gothic. But besides this, I knew absolutely nothing about it and never visited the home before this day. Several hours into a card game of fun, I asked for the restroom. I was told it was upstairs and be the first door on my right. I walked to the opposite side of the house, went up the stairs, which made a 180-degree turn in the middle, effectively blocking the view of downstairs completely halfway up the steps. I don't like it when houses do that. It freaks me out. Okay. The second I made the turn towards the top half of the steps, I was overcome by fear and panic for seemingly no reason. Suddenly felt a weight on my chest so heavy I could barely breathe, and even considered ignoring how many sodas I had drunk earlier and walking back downstairs to escape the sense of dread. I couldn't ignore my bladder, however, so I forced myself to finish ascending the stairs. It was afternoon with plenty of natural light illuminating the upstairs hallway, but I feel like something was looking down the narrow hallway at 3 a.m. after watching a horror movie while home alone. I particularly could not take my eyes off the end of the hallway at a door on the left. There was nothing visible for me to be staring at, but I still felt the need to stare at the door down and back into the restroom. I never had used the restroom and fled downstairs so quickly as I did that day. As soon as I got back down the stairs, I felt instant relief and was able to go back to having fun like nothing had happened. When my grandmother came to pick me up later, she asked me how it went. I couldn't help but mention that strange feeling I had about upstairs. I felt silly talking about it until she, in all seriousness, asked me to elaborate. I told her the story like I did just now, and my grandmother was completely amazed by the end of it. She seemed hesitant to say more, but you could tell I noticed her amazement and decided to tell me the truth. Joan and her family had moved into the house during the 1950s. When she was around 10 years old, the house was in rough shape and it was unoccupied for many years. So lots of renovations were in order. House planners realized that there was a missing room upstairs because on a window count, noting that it would have been a large closet called a trunk room back in the day, had completely walled off. When the wall was torn down, to everyone's horror, the skeletal remains, which turned out to be a teenage girl, were found. Her wrists had been shackled to the wall behind her. She even had scraps of hair and remnants of clothing still left behind. Somehow, Joan's family managed to overlook this grisly discovery and kept the home, turning the room with the deceased girl back into a large closet. It was the room behind the last door on the left in the upstairs hallway.
Ooh.
It has been over a decade since I experienced the bizarre occurrence, but till this day, I believe I felt the pain and anguish that poor girl had to have felt in her final days. I'm not typically a person who experiences anything paranormal. I'm in fact quite skeptical, but I can't deny how I felt or explain my fixation on the end of the hallway without knowing the history of the home. I had no reason to be panicked in the middle of the day in a house I had felt absolutely normal until that moment. Jean.
Wow.
Well, Jean, I have goosebumps now all over my body. Thank you very much. And that is a horrible story. That
like is it was horrible. It was just scary as is, and then with the historical elements, it reached a new level.
That's where we find the truth behind the legend. That's the key. That's why we need to study these paranormal occurrences and these unusual things, the preternatural. We need to make it natural. We need to say, hey, people have an odd feeling in this building. Let's find out why. And then maybe we figure out why that lizard brain acts like that. Maybe there is more to this earth than our dreamt of in our philosophy. Come on.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gene. And note to self, do not go to Joan's house. Okay.
Yeah. And I think on that point, we will take a quick break.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prepare to be devoured. The Wolves of Wharton is a 6-part complete book series by Eerie Travels producer Bo Lake. It has been called dark and visceral, steamy, dramatic, and a fresh take on the werewolf mythos. If you like action, adventure, a large serving of body horror, and some steamy relations, the Wolves of Wharton series is for you. Pick it up wherever books are sold or at linktree.com/Bo_Lake.
And we're back. Erica, this is all you. You had to go and poke the bear.
I did. We don't have to keep going. We're good.
Let's buckle up. I'm ready. I was just laid in my bed when I heard a scratching noise outside. I thought it was somebody breaking into my shed, so I looked out the window. Instead of being met with a small animal or somebody trying to break in, I was met with something more sinister. To this day, I have no idea if what I was seeing was real or in my head. I pulled my blinds to the side and looked into my back garden. But instead of seeing either of those things, I saw a ghostly white figure bent backwards on all fours. Its head was the right way up, though. Its mouth was large and hung open, and its eyes were pure white, and it had multiple red stains covered on it. It looked directly at me and ran. I quickly shut my blinds again and hid under my covers until I heard banging on my back door. Nobody heard it. Everyone was asleep. I'm assuming that this was a skinwalker or something of that sort, but even writing this brings me to tears for some unknown reason. My mind keeps playing tricks on me. This was years ago. However, I'm still wondering if this was real. Pablo.
That was so cool.
Wow, Pablo.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't love that at all.
Backwards.
Erica is speechless right now.
All fours, head drooping. I think, again, this is something right out of a nightmare manifest. So I don't know what you saw either. If you want us to look into that area, we'd be happy to. But give us a little more details.
Well, I don't know. I have no words, Pablo. No words. I would never leave your house again, though. So
yeah.
I hope you have Uber Eats delivery. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Covers are magical. Hiding under the covers is definitely true. Will protect you from 99% of all supernatural entities.
But make sure all your limbs are beneath the blankets because it can grab you if you're not.
Yeah. One toe's loose. You're in trouble. Now they will pull on your blankets. So you got to hold tight. Hold tight.
No, totally.
Especially if your blankets are laced with silver. That's the secret.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
That sounds uncomfortable.
The next one's a bit of a long one. Bo, do you want to do it or you want me to take it?
I can do it. Apologies to anyone who doesn't want to hear my voice for this long, but it's fun. A bit of a long one, but this is our experience and open to any suggestions to help deal with it. All, if any. To begin, my fiance and I have both had some form of experience with the paranormal, some of which could very easily be disputed, others not so much. For instance, as a kid, my siblings and I came home from being out and found the back door wide open. We all swear it was closed, but it could have been left open or unlocked and someone came in. Other experiences I've had where my dog was barking at my bookshelf and then books that were sitting on there about an inch or two away from the edge fell off and ended up all over the floor. My fiance has had experiences in one of her old houses where her ex was pinned to their bed and one of her kids dragged down their hallway by a spirit, and other moments where her kids would see spirits in their old houses. Now that some of our history is said, let's fast forward to our experience a couple of years ago. It started one day whilst I was at home watching TV. Our spice rack that was very much secured to the wall in the kitchen had fallen down, knocking over our knife block. The knife block and all of the spices fell onto the floor, with one knife laying in the center of the hallway facing down to the room I was in.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, spooky. After that happened, my fiance kept seeing shadows outside of our bedroom door, so we set up a camera in our hallway that looked down toward our room. One night, we were laying in bed and heard the camera switch between the night vision and daytime. Mm-hmm. I opened the camera app and was watching it while my fiance watched out into the hallway. The whole time that my fiance was watching the hallway, she didn't see anything. However, the camera picked up a light flash up near the ceiling with no actual source visible to the naked eye. The shadows continued on until one night, our daughter, who was 8 years old at the time, came into our room crying and petrified. She proclaimed to have heard a knock on the window from the outside. She was sleeping in her brother's room, who was 3 at the time, but at his dad's house. We went outside to see if there's anything in the backyard and couldn't see anything apart from our dog laying by the door, confused as to why we were coming out. We went into our eldest daughter's room to ask if she and her friend heard a knocking on the windows. They stated they did, but thought it was us. We then proceeded to get our youngest daughter settled in our room, and about 30 minutes later, our eldest daughter and her friend came running into our room petrified because they heard something say our daughter's name as clear as day, after which my fiancé began to see a face at the top of our bedroom door. She described it as a pale face with long black hair and eyes that would change from black to red to spiraling in an angry form. However, she couldn't see a body. With this, I began playing worship music and attempted to pray over us all and rebuke whatever it was. Once I had started this, my fiance began to see bars going across our door frames that were a bright, pure white color. That night, we weren't able to get much sleep and both had to cancel our shifts at work.
Yep.
Throughout the period after that, we continuously see the face as it was tormenting us. We purchased an EMF reader from eBay, which would continuously spike in different but more prominently in our youngest son's room, our room, and the kids' lounge room. Then, one day, our youngest boy, 3 years old, came home from his dad's house and began breaking down, full-on crying, attempting to take his clothes off as if they were irritating him, and began saying to get out and leave and that he doesn't want them there, and kept looking up to the corner of the lounge room and screaming, "Get out!" We didn't know what to do on or how to help him and managed to eventually calm him down, and he had no real recollection of what happened. After that, it was just the usual shadow figures in the face for a while, until one night we had my brother at our house and we're playing murder in the dark. He hid in our youngest closet and came out midway through the game stating he doesn't want to play anymore. He looked physically shaken and proclaimed something grabbed him on his back. We had a look at his back and there were scratch marks going down his shoulder blade area. Safe to say, we no longer played that game.
I was about to say.
Why were they playing that game to begin with?
It's fun, Erica.
I like the whole, after that, it was just usual shadow figures.
And the face, the terrifying face. It was fine though.
Just fine. Not laughing at you. I love that you're casual about that at that point. Because everything else is at that next level. This level's
I think at some point that level starts to be like, oh, this is the new default. Oh, it's fine.
All right. Continuing on. Oh my gosh. We're at the halfway point, gang. Oh my God.
Again, it was back to shadows and faces until one of the final straws for us at our old house. My fiance and I were laying in bed, and our youngest boy, who was 4 at the time, youngest girl, 9 at the time, and eldest boy, who was 12 at the time, were out in the main lounge room playing Roblox. Our youngest daughter and eldest son came running into our room saying there's something wrong with our youngest. My fiance and I ran out to the lounge room and found him lying on the couch, bawling his eyes out and speaking incoherently. We picked him up and my fiance took him to our room. I asked the other two what had happened, to which they said he just got really angry and was going to throw the Xbox controller at something in the dining room. My fiance asked our youngest what was going on, and he stated it was coming at us and I didn't want it to. We managed to get him settled and he soon fell asleep, after which we began to try and find out what it was and what it wanted, using things like Ghost Tube and the EMF reader, and the responses we got indicated that it was allegedly evil and wanted our youngest and I. After that, we rebuked it and only saw the shadows. We have since moved into our new house and finally started to get back to normal from it all. However, our youngest boy, who's now 5, doesn't want to sleep in his room. We've begun hearing footsteps and seeing the shadow again, as well as hearing things bang throughout different periods of the day with no one near where it came from. A couple of times at night when trying to fall asleep, I heard something yell in my ear, but it hasn't happened since. However, my fiance and I are both really itchy on our arms and legs and have random bruises coming up, but that could be low iron and something in the water. We have gotten crystals to help cleanse the house, and it is supposed to ward off any spirits, but I don't think they work. I have a crystal that I wear, which is black tourmaline, I think, and it has helped a little bit for now, though. Sorry for the long story. I've been getting a few friends saying that we should have been working on getting rid of it as opposed to asking it questions and whatnot. Unfortunately, we had attempted multiple different ways to get rid of it, from burning sage to prayers, anointing oil on the entrances and exits of every room, playing worship music, and having a friend who is Christian and has been through spiritual warfare come over and bless the house. Unfortunately, these did not stop the entity, which is why we began asking its intentions and would rebuke it every time. Any ideas? And this is from Anonymous.
Wow. I feel like whatever this is attached to the boy, and maybe reach out to like Serenity Jenny or something like that.
Yeah, you did the shotgun approach, which is prayers and, you know, calling in people and all that. It really does boil down to intention with this stuff. You have to have, you know, it's the old Fright Night line. You have to have faith for that to work on me, Mr. Vincent. It's the exact same thing. You've got to, if you're trying all these different approaches and you're not putting any energy behind any of them, guess what? That's not going to be enough. And it doesn't help if somebody else comes in and does it. They may have the purity of thought and all that, but that'll, like it says, it slows it down. It'll come back with a vengeance because you're the one who needs to get rid of it. We can send a team to help, but if they've got nothing to work with, I'm sorry. That's kind of what it's going to be.
Yeah, no, you need to have that intention, and your whole family does, to get it out. But
in those apps like Ghost Tube aren't like great, like in terms of like what you're going to use. I wouldn't use those.
No,
but I would even tell it to get out and that it's not allowed to come back in.
Yeah, but make it firm. Make it very solid. My home, my rules, get out. That's all it's got to be. It could be as simple as that. And, oh gosh, I'm sorry you're going through all that. That's all I can say is we wish you luck. And if you want us to send a team, we can send another team to help, but it's really got to be with you.
Okay. Thank you, Anonymous. That was very creepy. And I would have burned all of these houses down. So moving on. My mom's husband recently passed away. Sorry to hear that. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And she still says he was the love of her life. Before he passed, she told him to send her a sign, but never shared what that sign would be. A few months later, on his birthday, I was hanging out with her, knowing it was going to be a hard day for her. While we were together, I got a Facebook friend request from a profile with his photo on it. At first, I thought it was a scam, but it felt strange that it came on his birthday while I was with her. That's when my mom shared with me that the sign she asked for was doves. That spring, two doves made their nest right on her bedroom patio. When I looked at the friend request, I noticed the profile picture had a small illustration of two doves. I messaged the profile, but nobody ever responded or even read the message. Eventually, the profile disappeared. I felt a very strange, unexplainable moment, but I can't help wonder if it was him sending the sign she was asking for. Marcy. Sounds like it.
I mean, maybe the dove's outside, but people love to use a dead person's profile and like make a dupe profile.
Yeah.
Like
they don't even
my grandfather had that happen. Like they made a profile for my grandfather and started talking to me. And I'm like, he's dead. I don't like this is messed up. So anything like that, I don't it's usually someone being an asshole.
Yeah. They're trying to get money from you eventually.
Yeah. But
the fact that you know they eventually got wiped out. Probably means bot account. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm sorry.
But the doves outside are really sweet, though.
Definitely a message. So,
yeah, I agree. Okay.
All right. My turn, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And this is to me. Hi, Mark. Hi. Can you share this with Eerie Travels, but keep me anonymous? I swear my sister glitches in and out of universes.
Oh.
Happy face. It's even become a family joke where we say, oh, must have been the other Michelle. Our sons go to the same high school. I'll message her about a school event and she'll reply confused, saying it's a different day or time, etc. I'll send her a photo of the form I have and she'll send me a photo of hers and it's completely different.
Weird.
Last week, she sent me a message saying she'd just driven the road I take to take my daughter to gymnastics, and there's a massive accident, and all the lanes are closed, and she's just warning me. I received the message and read the message immediately while stopped at the red robot at the red light at that said intersection. No accident, no traffic jam, all lanes open, peaceful and quiet. Talked about Christmas breakfast coming up, and my brother is bringing croissants, like always. My sister argues that we've never had croissants for Christmas breakfast. Madam, we've done it every year since I was six. She phones me while she's at the shop to tell me that ice creams go on special and I should get some. I'm about 5 minutes from the shop, so I hop in my car and go. I get there. Not a single ice cream special. Stuff like this happens all the time. She gets so upset and I say, oh, you've obviously glitched.
I love that, but that is kind of frightening that she's dimension shifting like that and swapping with whoever the other Michelle is.
Yeah. I definitely think that, ask her if Dolly had braces.
That's the important question here.
The question we need to know, because if she did, I'm going to go find the other Michelle and go back with her to that universe. Cause that's the right universe I'm supposed to be in. So
me too with the sunglasses. I'm telling you. Okay.
But croissants for breakfast on Christmas. That may go with Big Sandwich Day.
Yeah.
My new favorite.
I love a croissant.
But yeah, croissant on Christmas morning.
I got stuff to make big sandwiches for that. I know we're recording this before it's going to air, but I got big sandwich stuff. So I'm excited
for Big Sandwich Day now.
So. Yeah. Okay. Go for it, Bo.
I'm going for it. I could really use some good vibes sent my way. I live in Kentucky, but work in West Virginia as a grant writer. As I'm sure you all are aware, West Virginia has a high poverty rate. The water and sewer infrastructure is old and failing. I'm applying for a grant to fix the water system that crosses between small towns in Mingo and Wyoming counties. Right now, the people in these towns do not have safe, reliable drinking water. We have applied for this grant 5 times before and been denied every time. I really need to get this year's application approved. If you could put me on your prayer list, I would appreciate it. And this is from Gwen.
Well, Gwen, I'm sending my good intentions your way. I know Mark and Bo will send good intentions your way. And travelers, do the same for Gwen here. Clean water is important.
100%. And that area, yes, needs all the love it can get. We love West Virginia. It's, you know, Appalachia, Erie, Appalachia. I grew up in South Charleston, West Virginia. We go to Mothman Festival, Flatwoods Festival. Bo, went to Middleway and Grafton recently. Mm-hmm. So all those areas need love and support. And thankfully, I think they're starting to get a little bit. So good luck with the grants.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I think we have like four more, I think. Okay.
Okay. We're getting there. And they're all kind of shorter, it looks like.
Yeah. Okay. Hi. I'm currently pregnant with a girl and I'm trying to find a fantasy folklore name that has to do with ravens. I currently have two boys, Odin and Poe. Lots of favorites from fantasy books. I love Ilongwe, Alora, Melisandre, Sidel. I'm killing these names. Kilishandra, Kira, Yvain, but none of them have strong connections to ravens. My husband was not blessed to be an unconventional spelling name, Aaron. Oh, was not so blessed with an unconventional spelling of his name, which is Aaron, which is A-R-E-I-E-N instead of A-A-R-O-N. And I already vetoed most of my loved fantasy names because of his childhood struggles. We do not want to name her Raven. We have one in the family already. We also have a Brianna in the family. I'm also not in love with Morgane. Yeah. My husband's Icelandic Irish, which is where we got Odin. I'm French, Nordic, Swedish, Danish. So I'm looking for a Grimm Anderson fairy tales, but their characters aren't named. We also don't want a name directly related to one of the boys, like Lenore or Freya. We only realize they're both in strong connections to ravens after naming the second. Not really looking for a name that means raven like Coven, Corbin, but a character, especially a princess or a sorceress, with a strong connection to both of them. So I'm really hoping a fantasy folklore character I haven't thought or read about already. You are all like an encyclopedia of this stuff, Jessica.
Wow. Well, Jessica, I'm going through my head. I'm sad you don't like Morgan, but maybe Morrigan?
Because I was thinking Morrigan too.
That's Irish, you know, and that she's her symbol is the raven. I mean, that's my immediate thought was that. And she's Celtic folklore, got that Irish history that you've got. But she's a goddess of magic and uses ravens to talk. So that would be 100% what I would go with. It's not Morgan or Morgane, it's Morrigan. She is the Morrigan. The other one would be a Corby. I know you don't like Corvin or Corbin, but Corby's. They were ravens that guarded the battlefields, but it was basically because everybody sees ravens eating the bodies after a battlefield. But that's where the legend of the Corbies.
Oh, you know what? I'm Googling. I need to look up a name because.
Get on the clackety clack.
I am right now.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of, there was a raven in, it was a name of a thief, and I can't remember, but I think her name was just Raven. Yeah, she was a thief in the Highlander series, and there was one in the Harry Harrison Stainless Steel Rat series. So that's the
I know one. She doesn't want to do a name that's like related to the boys' names, but she could pull a name from like Edgar Allan Poe stuff.
Yeah, just you know, make it you know like Palace. Because it's the bust of Palace, and that would be a good name for a girl. So
yeah, well, I would. There is a name, and I can't think of it right now. There's a book by Jonathan Mayberry called Kagan the Damned, and one of the things in it has to do with blackbirds. And there is a woman that Kagan falls in love with, and I am not finding it right now, but I'm going to find it. And I'm going to find it, love interest. And she helps with these, Maralina.
That's a pretty name.
M-A-R-A-L-I-N-A. And she's a half vampire, half fae, who's one of the most powerful sorceresses in the land. And she watches over Kagan with these blackbirds. So nice. Marilena, that is where I'm going.
That's good.
There you go, right, Jessica. Marilena, that's where we go.
There we go. I'm all for that. Anything Jonathan Mayberry, I'm 100%. So
yes. So okay. Hopefully that helps you. If not, reach out to us. We'll think of more. Mark.
All right. If you hear a knock but don't see anyone outside the door, don't open the door. I posted this as a comment on a Reddit post, but I thought I'd share it to you all for a listener tale as a way to tell what happened to me in case it could happen to someone else. I moved into an apartment years ago, and it had a wraparound porch that had two doors with access to it. There was a gate to get onto my porch, so you would have to come through the gate to get to my front door. I had been there about a week, and I was in the kitchen. The kitchen has a window to the porch where you can see who is at the front gate, and it is close to the front door. I heard someone knock on the front door, so I walked to it and opened it. No one was there. I walked around to the other door. No one. I checked the gate. No one was walking down the stairs, away from my upstairs apartment. I thought nothing of it and shrugged it off. That was just the beginning of my 3 years of experiences in that apartment. The activities in that apartment makes me want to write a book about all these experiences. I learned later that if you hear a knock at the door and you're not expecting anyone or can't see anyone through the people, don't open the door. Opening the door invites the entity or entities in, and that's just what I did. Be an Erica and nope the fuck out. Wilson.
Well done, Wilson. Well done. Yes. Well,
Wilson, I want to hear those other, I want to hear that book. I want to read that book. So yeah, write it down, man. That's, you got to document.
Yes, well, agreed. But guess what? Don't open the effing door. Like,
what was the line in IT Crowd? He was talking about that the Richard Iwade's character, Moss, always just says, yeah, we just don't answer the door ever.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, you know, when someone knocks at the door, you'd never answer. He's like, yes, a closed door is a happy door. He's like, we live in London. Who's going to, when you open the door, it could be murder. It's not going to be happy money.
I love him so much. Okay. Bo.
I'm ready. Hey, Mark and Erica.
Hello.
Hey. Now I'm going to add, hey, Bo, for myself. Okay. Yes. My five-year-old son was crying and very upset over having zombie nightmares and being afraid of the dark. This came completely out of nowhere, and he has never done this before. Maybe he overheard you all talking zombie movies, as I do listen to your podcast near him sometimes. Being as I am someone who practices some witchcraft, we saged his room and spoke positive affirmations while focusing on love and peace. I plan to get him a dream catcher, but I want to go about it the right way. I'm interested in some sigils / runes and protection spells I can draw to give my son something tangible to feel protected. I'd love any recommendations, preferably Nordic or Celtic origins. Also, any good place to find a dream catcher other than a tacky gas station would be appreciated. Thank you and keep being awesome. You are my favorite show. I hope Mark feels better. And this is from Jay.
Well, hello, Jay. Thanks, we discussed dream catchers on our last show, but you should get them from the Cherokee or Navajo. You can usually find them in one of their shops, but what you want to look for is something actually made with natural things like a bent branch and sinew. They're not usually perfectly round. Perfectly round dream catchers do not, those are not the ones you want. And then have your son find a gem or something. Just let him pick something. Take him to a metaphysical shop. Don't tell him, just say pick one. And then add it to the dream catcher. And that's your dream catcher. As far as sigils, honestly, I know this sounds terrible, but you can Google Celtic symbols for protection and stuff like that. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole with them, and I do some research, but they're not that hard to find.
I also saw a video about how to make your own sigil. Like, you write the alphabet in a circle, and then if your word is like safe, you draw lines to S-A-F-E, and then you take that shape that you've made, and then you that's your sigil.
You can do things like that. There's a lot of things you can do with that. It's pretty cool.
And Jay, I'm glad you love our show.
Yeah.
Is the last one. Here we go.
All right. We made it, gang.
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Okay. As I stepped off the plane in Florida, the sun greeted me in a warm embrace, a stark contrast to the cold shadows that would soon engulf my mind.
Oh, wow.
I'd always loved the wilderness, and the idea of hiking through the swamps away from the Orlando theme parks was too enticing to pass up. It was supposed to be an adventure, a break from the mundane. On the third day of my vacation, I decided to explore a remote trail that a few locals claims was haunted. Laughing off their stories, I equipped myself with a backpack, a flashlight, and a map that seemed ancient even to my inexperienced eyes. As the path grew narrower and the trees denser, I felt a prickle of unease and pushed on, my curiosity outweighing my fear. Well, this one's not taking the Erica approach.
No. I know who wrote this one, so yeah.
Yeah. The swamp was a symphony of sounds, frogs croaking, insects bugging, and the distant call of an owl. But the sky darkened and the shadows lengthened, and oppressive silence fell over the forest. The air grew thick with the most tangible dread. I could hear my own labored breathing and the crunch of leaves underfoot. Just as I was contemplating turning back, a stench like rotting flesh filled the air. Gagging, I pressed on, desperate to find the source. That's when I saw it, a figure hunched and gaunt with eyes that glowed like embers in the failing light. It stood on the edge of the path, its skeletal form barely visible through the mist. Frozen, I watched it. Oh, I don't like any of this, so. Frozen, I watched as it took a step towards me. It moved with horrifying, deliberate grace, each motion exuding hunger and malice. I could hear a faint whispering, a chorus of voices pleading and sudden wailing, the sound wrapping around my brain and rooting me in the spot. Suddenly, it let out a scream, a sound so primal and guttural that it seemed to shake the very ground beneath my feet. The Wendigo, for I knew it would be nothing else, lunged at me. My paralysis broke, and I turned and ran, branches whipping at my face, my lungs burning with the effort. I stumbled upon a clearing and collapsed, my heart pounding in my ears. The creature didn't follow, but I could still feel its presence lurking in the darkness, waiting. I didn't stop running until I reached the safety of my car. Even now as I write this, I can't forget those eyes, the unearthly scream. The swamp was supposed to be a place of adventure, but it became a nightmarish memory that I will carry forever. Beware of the haunted trails in Florida. Some legends are better left untested. Do you think this might have been an undead skunk ape, Mike?
Mike, you are a hell of a writer. Thanks for sending that in. You called me and told me about this, and that was incredible. I know you think it was a Wendigo, but Florida not really big on the Wendigos. But
is this the Mike who's the friend of the show, Mike, or is this a different Mike?
It's a different Mike. Okay. So he called me out of the blue to tell me about this. He was invited to go on a swamp trek, and he was heading to a campsite to meet the Bigfoot hunt that he was going to go on, and he never even made it there because he got that far, and that was it.
He was done. He's like, no, thank you. Bye.
Yeah, he decided to go to Universal.
I understand that, which would have been my choice to begin with. So, my lovely friend Mike, I am not sure why you didn't apply the Erica philosophy and nope out.
So he seemed very scared, but he did follow the smell. So
yeah. Undead skunk ape would be something new for me. But the way you described it definitely sounded something crazy and something unusual. I'm glad you reported it. We've added it to a few reporting sites. Like, that's what all this is for, is documentation. I love your writing. You really need to become a horror author instead of a journalist, because you did that well.
We loved it. Well, listeners, thank you so much, travelers, for bringing this all to us. We really loved reading them, and we're all caught up now, so we need more.
Yeah.
More. So with that said,
Erica wants more scary ones.
I do. And so I'm going to go because now it's dark out, and I'm never going to sleep tonight. So thank you for that. Yeah. So, but with that, right. Mark, take us away.
Yeah, again, thank you all so much for gifting us this for the holidays with these wonderful stories. We're gifting them back to you. We hope you enjoyed them. We want more. Like Erica said, please send them our way. Bo and Erica, thank you guys so much for keeping up the show while I was on medical leave. And when I still disappear, you guys keep the boat rowing and keep the show on the air. So thank you so much. Hopefully I don't have to disappear too much more, but we never know. So, but send us your stories. Document, document, document. All right. With that said, thank you, travelers, for joining us with this. We've got to spend some time out there with some witchy stuff. We got to spend some time out there with some spooky stuff. A lot of hauntings this time. So Thank you for sharing. I know you were replying to the Halloween episode, so I think that might have flavored this a little bit. But as it is, the dark of the year, we're ending the end of the long night, and the pagan folks are gearing up. We know the spark of life is under that snow. We know that the world is coming back around and we will see the spring coming soon. But as you go through that dark of night and you're walking around and you hear the knock at the door, don't go answering it. It's not going to be anything any happy unless it happens to be carolers. And then you can hit them with that boiling hot oil. And we will see you on the other side.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.